Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Being in debt is never fun, nor is it an easy thing. And as a country, we know what it's like to be in debt. The debt of our country is astronomical. Currently, it is $19 trillion and counting. And if you were to break those numbers down, that would be $61,000 per citizen and $165,000 per taxpayer. And that amount of debt is not going down, it's only increasing. And as a state, we know what it's like to be in debt as well. The state of Minnesota currently owes $51 billion, which equals roughly $9,000 per resident. And like our countries, that is also increasing as well. And as a people, individually, we know what it's like to be in debt as well. The average American owes $4,700 in credit card debt at a rate of 15% of interest. And that's not including what we may owe on our homes, on our cars, on our education bills, which we probably accrued years ago. It doesn't include our medical expenses or payment plans for past services. And these debts can take months, years, and even decades to pay off. And when we have debts or in situations like these, we can feel anxious, we can feel overwhelmed, we can feel stressed and worried about how to make ends meet. But we have to pay back these loans, we have to pay back these debts, otherwise there are consequences, right? We might lose some property or possession. We might have to have some legal action done against us as well. So what do? You might have to work another job, do some extra hours, penny pinch, sell some valuables, or do some odd jobs. The favorite odd job at seminary was to sell some plasma, which would give you $150 a session. Other times, though, you might just give up when in the face of debt. This morning, though, Paul tells us to add another debt. And really, what's one more debt when we have so much already? He writes these words, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law." Love one another. Paul tells us to owe one another in love. And this is really an imagery that we can relate to in our day and our age. We know what it's like to owe others. And in our lives, when we have a debt, we want to have that settled as fast as we are able to. And when we owe maybe people, we often want to be nice to serve or help them. We at least want to be on their good side, right? And this imagery of owing one another in love really builds on what Paul had talked about last week, especially his theme of showing a self-sacrificial love. He makes the same point here, but really uses a different image to do so. The idea of owing encourages us not just to show love to others regularly or often, but really on a continual basis. It's something we're always to do until that debt is paid off. But the reality is it never will be. And this imagery also encourages us to look out for our neighbor's behalf and interest as well, since we are indebted to them. His point carries the idea of an ongoing action. And this love stems from that love that we've been shown in Jesus. But Paul also notes another reason we should owe one another in love, and it is this, so that it fulfills the law as well. Love brings the commandments to fulfillment. Listen to what he writes in verse 10. "Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." The commandments and love help to give guidance and shape to each other. Let's look at the examples that he had talked about in our text. "You shall not commit adultery," the sixth commandment. Love drives us to honor our marriages and what we say and do and think. It also leads us to honor the marriages of others. It encourages us to live a life of purity by what we say and do. You shall not murder. The fifth commandment. Love won't let us harm or hurt our neighbor in his body, but rather it encourages us to support and help them in every physical need. And we've seen this a lot lately with the help being given to those suffering from Hurricane Harvey and those who will be suffering from Hurricane Irma later today. You shall not steal. The seventh commandment. Not only do we not take what is not ours, Luther says we are actually to help and protect and improve the possessions and income of other people. And that might be a strange thought to us as well, since it might not be included under stealing in the broad sense of the term. But I had this done to me last week. Last week I was grabbing something from Cub Foods when a lady behind me said, "Excuse me, sir, did you drop this?" And she holds up a wad of cash. And I was like, "I don't know." And I checked my pockets, and it was my money. There was a huge hole in my pocket, and my keys fell out of them as well as I went to check. Fortunately, this lady was looking out for my possessions and asked if it was mine. Certainly, she could have grabbed that cash and walked away, and I would never have known. Love does not steal, even when it's easy to do so. Love looks out for the possession and property of others. You shall not covet. Commandments 9 and 10. Similar to the seventh commandment, this one, love leads us not to scheme to get our neighbor's possessions or property, nor turn their family, friends, and co-workers against them. Rather, it's to be of help, service, and encouragement to them. And Paul points out that love is really the summary of the law as well, for he says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." These acts of love are what we would like done to us, aren't they? For who likes to be hurt, harmed, lied to, a victim of adultery, having their stuff stolen or damaged? No one, right? No one likes that. This is what we owe others. We owe them love. But as we look at our own lives and examine them, this debt that we're called to have to others exposes our debt to not doing so. We haven't done these things as we would like them done to us. We haven't shown others in what we've said, done, and thought. One of the ways that Scripture describes sin is with the term debt. And we hear it in the Lord's Prayer from Matthew. Jesus says these words, "And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." Sin is a moral debt owed to God. And like any debt, it has repercussions. Our sin can have consequences. And the wages of sin is death, as Paul said earlier in Romans. And this sin also creates a separation, not just between us and God, but also between others in our lives. And like any debt, it really needs to be paid. Do you recall any of the various ways that I mentioned that we could get rid of debt? We could certainly sell some plasma, work extra hours, get another job, penny pinch, or sell some valuable possessions. But these things will never work. They can't pay this debt. Our good works won't put a dent in it either. They never could, nor will they. But there's one other way to get rid of debt that I haven't mentioned yet. And that's to have someone else pay that debt for you. And Jesus did just that. He offered his holy and perfect life for us. Through his death and our place on the cross, our debt, our sin has been settled and made right with God. Our Savior endured the repercussions that our debt of sin deserved. He endured death. He bore the wrath of God and the punishment that we deserved. He paid that debt with his own precious life and blood. His righteousness and good works are credited and applied to us, while our sin has been given and applied to him. We don't have to fear that our sin is unpaid for. For the blood of Jesus covers and pays for it all. And he reminds us of this in a supper where we receive his body and blood that made payment for our sin. When we receive the bread and wine, it's as if he says, take and eat the proof that you were right with God, that your sin is forgiven, and that all is well with your heavenly Father, that debt is paid. But as we reflect on this, it really leads to an interesting thought. How do we reconcile our freedom with Christ with what Paul says here? We are debt-free and forgiven with God, but yet Paul calls us to owe one another in love. How do we explain this paradox or dilemma? Luther answers this quite well in his famous work, The Freedom of a Christian. In it, he says, a Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. And then he says, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. As Christians, we live in this paradox between these two truths. We live out our Christian lives in the grace of God that forgives all of our sin. And this grace then prompts and moves us to live a life of debt, a life that owes one another in love, although we are free in Christ. Really, what is one more debt when yours has been covered through the grace and mercy of Christ? In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who pays our debt. Amen.